Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, they're telling me upstairs that they still need contestants for our quiz. We need two people after 4 o'clock with a chance to win that lovely break in the Castleknock Hotel. And our qualifying question is, in which Irish county would you find the town of Dungarvan? 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, I'm joined in studio this Friday by Mike Hanrahan. You know Mike from Stockton's Wing and other things. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Commiserations on the death of your mother, Mary.
Thank you.
So she's a week dead.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the song. We'll talk about the song first, and then we'll talk about Mary, and then we'll come back to the song.
Great.
So just briefly, the song was ready to go, and you wrote it about Mary.
Yeah, it was a prayer I wanted to send to my mum. I just wanted to send her a prayer to wish her well on the final stages of her life, because she'd lived with dementia for 7 years, yeah. And the last 6 or 7 months was particularly tough for her. But the last year was, and on a visit last year, one of those window visits to the home, I just came home and I had this idea about our life being like a river, a meandering river, starting from the top of the mountain, and then you find your way to the ocean. And I just wanted to get my mum to the ocean and be happy and find her ocean and find dad again. And, you know, and that's what the song is about. Yeah. And so I wrote it. I spent a lot of time with it. And I'm very proud of the song because it was easy to write, because I was writing for mum, because she was actually one of my best mates as well, you know, when we were around together. So it was very dear to me. I'm glad I got a chance to say that to her. I'm glad I got a chance to sing it to her in the home a few weeks ago when myself and Kieran went down and we played some tunes for her. And I got to sing a song. So it was released on Friday at lunchtime. And she died Friday night. I was actually in Ennis. Something told me on Thursday evening, I need to go to Clare, you know, so I did. And yeah, it was bizarre.
Is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I got an email about it over the weekend and I thought that this is very odd, because I know you.
Yeah.
And I know you would never sort of, you know,
It wasn't a gimmick.
Like that would have been. No. I know.
But that would have been a good one.
Yeah. Well, you want once off. You can't. It's not something you can repeat. But so that's very special then, isn't it?
It really is special because most of us were around her bed when she passed, and on her last breath, my older brother Joe just took the phone out from his pocket and put it on the pillow and played a song for her, and that was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. And I think we were privileged to have that as a family, because this year passed, so many people didn't get a chance to do that, you know. And my sister-in-law came to the wake in my house, and she went in to say goodbye to my mum, and she cried because she couldn't see her dad.
Yes.
You know, he was taken away in a bag. And so we were privileged to have that and privileged to be able to celebrate her life, and the entire town of Ennis came out and cheered her.
Well, let's celebrate her life a bit here then.
Yeah.
So 91, mother to how many of you?
8 of us.
Right.
There was 6 boys and 2 girls. All of us, each and every one of us, strived our entire lives to be the black sheep. So she had all that difficulty to deal with. And she was a nurturer.
Who won in the end? No, you don't need to answer that question.
She was a nurturer. You know, my dad was a provider, and they were an amazing couple. They lived for each other and lived for their family. And they were of that generation who just gave everything to raise their kids. Yeah. And that was their kind of purpose in life, and to love each other. And that's what they did. I came from an idyllic upbringing, and mum taught me an awful lot, and she was very wise. As a friend, she was great because she could keep secrets, you know, and she'd make sure that if she was telling you a secret, that you better keep it to yourself. So, yeah, she was a really a good pal and a great mother.
And a confidant.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, on all things. Like when you're growing up, no matter since an early age, if ever I had things that I had to discuss or things that bothered me, and there was times during the year, I remember I wrote a book 2 years ago, and there was elements in that where,
of course,
I had to talk to her about it, and she was open for it, and talking to her freed me, you know, and it brought us closer together.
But she was in the throes of dementia when you brought out that book, but you were still able to have the chats.
Well, we had to, in the early stages she could talk away, and I remember I wanted to get her recipes. I really wanted to get her recipes, and I was at home. We used to go down we'd take turns doing weekends to mind her. They were great weekends because it was a one-to-one for 3 days. You'd never get it. And I remember one time asking her for, can we have the recipes, you know? And she looked at me, and I had a dictaphone on, and she said, no, Jesus, go away with that thing. Okay. And so she started to give me the recipes. There was like a fist of this, a pinch of that, a fist of that. And I still haven't perfected it.
And what was her signature dish? Not that she would have called it that.
Oh, her breads were amazing, and her tarts were just, I mean, yeah, they were just outrageous. There was always a tart, and it was always like Kieran and myself were living in Dublin, so there was always a tart waiting. That's the advice in Dublin. Don't eat that tart. So we were privileged to get
Mike and Kieran are on the road. They're on their way down.
Yeah, we were the prime boys.
That's for them. So you started seeing the dementia 7 years ago when she was about 84.
Yeah.
And she was Brides of Button before that.
Yeah. She was having her own. She loved her bingo. She loved her religion. She was extremely religious. She loved talking. She loved cooking. And all these things gradually were taken away from her, you know. And like when she couldn't go to the bingo anymore, it meant an awful lot to her. And then she started losing her physicality, started getting, and then she eventually fell and broke her hip, and that was kind of the final state. That was about 4 years ago. So, yeah, it was to watch that decline is really tough. But I think what it has given me, and I suppose the main reason I really want to be here, and you've invited me, it's great, is just to talk of the future of our generation and how we deal with dementia.
Yeah.
Because we have been left with this new wave and after wave of dementia and memory loss in all our families. And like in the older generations, it wasn't that. They said you were doting and you'd be put in the corner.
And on top of that, Mike, people died younger.
Yeah, much younger.
And then that's, we've had this chat a number of times on this show, that like because of medical advances, we are living longer. And as a result of that, there are going to be more people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes, and more, and unfortunately more younger people. Yeah. When I was at home at the funeral on Monday, I discovered that 3 of my childhood friends, same age as me, have dementia. Right. And that shook me. So in my mum's memory, I've decided to dedicate my life, the rest of my life, to helping people with memory loss,
right,
wherever I can. And there are so many things going on in America with music, you know, and with dance, and the effect it has on people, because hearing is the last thing to go. So I think we need to kind of start creating a more inclusive society. And then I was telling her about a story I read about America, the American Indians, when the member of the tribe gets dementia or issues with memory loss, they're assigned a person of the tribe to mind them. And they're not told to go in the corner and and they're actually told, because they see this tribe's person going back to their childhood, and they have to be nurtured before they reach their God. So there's all these things that we need to talk about.
I and your mother was in a nursing home.
She was in a home for,
since the fall,
for,
was it?
For 4 years. And unfortunately, when she fell, because of her memory loss, and they couldn't give her physio because she wouldn't remember. So the medical had to make a decision. But she was really well cared for. But as she delved further into it, she was unable to participate in events, daily events. So it was...
And she sounded like an amazing, independent woman. So obviously dementia takes your independence away from you. And then when you're in a nursing home, more of your independence is taken away from you. So how did she react to that?
She was very frustrated, and you could see it in her. And sometimes I never saw my mother. She was angry, you know, because she couldn't really articulate what was going on, and you could see it in her face that she wanted to get out and get home all the time. In the early stages, she eventually settled down into it. And I'm hearing so many stories, particularly from the guys in the choir. I mean, this choir is amazing.
The Forget Me Nots choir,
People
will know it because it featured heavily in the Brendan Grace.
Yeah.
There are two documentaries. It featured in one of them anyway. And we spoke to Nora Owen about it because her husband.
That's right, yeah.
He suffered with dementia and he was in part of the choir.
I mean, it was set up by 3 sisters, Karen, Orla and Fiona. And their mum had dementia, and they put this idea, get a choir going because her mum loved singing. It started with 6 people in Balldoyle.
Yeah.
When COVID broke, there was a waiting list of 50 people to get into the choir. And they're trying to set choirs up all over the area. So we're kind of hoping as we, if this single gets out there and people start talking about dementia, that they too will set up a choir, because singing is such a great gift for people, and music. I mean,
and they say that people can remember songs long after they've forgotten everything else.
Yes,
and
yeah.
There's that. I don't know how I feel about it, but it was an interesting documentary about Glen Campbell.
Yeah,
that he was still performing.
He was, yeah.
While going through dementia.
And I saw that documentary. Yeah. And he was having difficulty with words, but they had it on the TV.
Teleprompter. Yeah.
But I think the whole, this choir, for instance, they're amazing. I couldn't say enough about them. Some of them had never turned on a computer.
Right.
Some of them had no telephones. So we had the
oh,
song.
You had to record it virtually. Remotely, yeah.
So they learned how to record on phones, on laptops. They were being given all these instructions from the choir masters, and Nora, the choir master herself, she wrote all the lines for them. And it was a new song for them.
Yeah.
Like, they were used to singing all their old hits from their old days. This was an amazing feat.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm going to have to play the song now. So it's A River Rolls On.
Yeah.
And it's written in honour and to celebrate the life of Mary Kelleher.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, right. My mum.
Who died last Friday, age 91. And she got to hear it in the final moments of her life.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Isn't that
beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah, it's beautiful imagery when you think about it. And you have thought about it, obviously, but the river, and it's a trickle at the start and finding its feet, so to speak. And then it gets this strength, which I suppose teenage years, 20s, and you're roaring on, you know. And then you have tributaries coming in, and then you're down onto the plain, and it's meandering the odd Oxbow Lake.
Very nice.
And then onto the sea.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, beautiful. That's Maybe Cry Now. Gorgeous is that person. And condolences to Mike and his family loss following the Wings for years. That's Mick Donoghue. That's Stockton's Wing. He's been following for years. What a lovely man Mike is. His mother was lucky to have such a wonderful son, and I'm sure she enjoyed the song Mike wrote for her in the nursing home. What a wonderful, happy memory, says Kate. It is, isn't it, to have that?
Yeah, it's great.
My granny died with dementia, and Mike is right. We just said, God love her. She's doting now. And that's what they used to say in the olden days. It's such a sad disease. My dad died twice, as they say, and that's the other thing to say, isn't it? Because you lose them first to dementia, and then first the personality, then his body. My own mother in the nursing home was tough. She really never adapted to it. She never knew where she was the last few years, and asked us to take her home with us. Heartbreaking, Suzanne. And it's a tough for a family, isn't it?
It really is, because that decision that when your loved one has to move into a home, it is the toughest decision any family will make, because there's so much guilt involved around it. And are we doing the right thing? You know, is it right? And then you've got the reaction from the person who's going in there, who doesn't want to be there. Clearly, they're aware that they don't want to be where they're going, and that is. Probably the toughest part of the whole process is the first, sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years.
And is there any other way, do you think? If you're going to become an advocate for this now, you'll have to, you know.
I'm going to learn about it.
Yes,
And I'm at the early stages. I've hooked up with this amazing doctor and dancer in America, Magda. And she has an amazing website. And I'll be putting all these links up on my sites.
Yeah.
And the more I read, the more I learn. And then the more we'll spread the kind of news. And hopefully people will have loads of choirs out of this next year. You know, we'll have a choral competition.
I heard Mike sing that song, and it's wonderful to hear him speaking about his mother. She sounds like a wonderful lady. Mm. Reminds me of my own mother, R.I.P. And what a lovely tribute to Mary. My own mum died 2 months ago. She was also in her 90s. The words meant a lot to me also, says Anne. Excuse me. And Mike wrote a song about the place I'm from, Doolan, County Clare. However, for me, it will always be about Clare Hurling. That's Sean in County Clare. You probably know what he's talking about there. And any chance of an old socially distanced outdoor Stockton's Wing gig? Asks Miles.
Well,
when do you think you'll be gigging again?
Well, there's talk about those gigs when the government thing comes out, and we're all waiting, because there'll be a scurry, because they have something like 25 million to spend between now and the end of September, so there'll be gigs morning, noon, and night.
And there's a lot of pent up, you know, singing and guitar playing and baron banging
lots of stuff. We're all Stockton's Wing have a live album ready to go that we were due to release last year. That's all ready to go. I have a whole bunch of songs and a few different shows written because I kept busy, and a lot of us did. Yeah. So we're raring to go. I mean, there's talk about me going to Austria with Eleanor Shandy in August, and by God, if we can do it, you know, we'll be there.
Okay, so before we let you go, Mike, do you want to pay tribute to Mary one more time? Just, you know, something to have.
Oh God, she was just an amazing. She was a woman full of heart, compassion. She was full of love. Herself and my dad loved each other so much, and I'm just happy that she has found her peace, and she's with Dad, and she's probably dancing a half set with my father up there. And she was a lovely singer as well herself, so she'll be singing the Black Hills of Dakota or something into Dad's ear. And I'm just wish her the best on her journey. So
I think it's okay to feel a little bit happy when it's like that.
So true. I mean, I'm really sad all week, and but I'm also very happy for her because it's a release.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a tough way to end your life. And it was so
7 years.
Yeah, so prolonged for my mum. You know, it's a tough way because it's a one-way communication process, you know, and you're hoping to get something back through her eyes or a smile. So I'm happy for her. It's a release, and we would all miss her. And there's a hole in the family's heart. It'll never be filled, but we'll be comforted in what she's left us. And she left us so many great memories. And that's all.
Mike, always good to see you. Condolences again.
I really appreciate this. Yeah,
mind yourself. And when you get things going and you want, you know, some
plague you.
Airtime, come back to us. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.